Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Pitch Talk.
We are fans of football dropping vlogs, videos and podcasts on the beautiful game.
Check out our videos on YouTube and Instagram's IGTV,
including special feature segments,
5 minutes with the G,
the straight shooting view,
coaching with JBK. We produce, record and edit video content
and audio on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts,
Verbal, Podomatic,
Anchor,
Spotify
and other podcast platforms.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution on Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook,
and www.pitch-talk.com.
The pitch is where we eat.
The pitch is where we sleep.
And the pitch is where we talk. Pitch Talk podcasts and videos are brought to you in association with LE Bikes. Begin your journey into electric bikes. Visit lebikes.co.uk. Welcome to
the Straight Shooting View.
Hey everybody, what is up? My name is Straight Shooting LJA and welcome to part one, aka the opening act of my review of the FIFA Uncovered Netflix series. Of course, there are four parts to this series, so I'll be dissecting each episode of this limited series individually. So buckle up and let's jump in. Now, the house of FIFA started crumbling. The dramatics of it. I mean, I guess they had to open big on episode one, but they were right about football being the biggest sport and the biggest business. I mean, that was interesting to me that they got Jerome Valcar talking, considering how big his role was with FIFA as the general secretary for so many years. So automatically had me in. It did make me laugh, though, seeing Jack Warner's name as one of the conspirators of the corruption of the enterprise of FIFA. Because it sounded like something from Star Trek. The enterprise of FIFA. So, all right, dude, calm down. But it definitely was accurate to say the charges of wire fraud, money laundering, racketeering, etc. are like charges you'd hear in organized crime. I mean, Sepp Blatter saying there was no corruption in football was hilarious. But to say his conscience is clear, to me, the guy's clearly senile, saying he can't be responsible. Gianni Infantino, though, saying FIFA had become criminal, you have to throw UEFA in there too. And Infantino, ironically, has had a role in all of this as well, and in both entities. Vladimir Putin, the man of the hour, saying the arrest of FIFA officials was nothing more than an attempt by the USA to extend its jurisdiction to other countries, was hilariously ironic, especially in hindsight. But Blatter saying his name will be synonymous with corruption is pretty much fact. But then it was weird because he tried to make himself look like the victim when so much went on under his watch and he profited so much from it, financially and in terms of power. Now, the comments about it being so much more of a happy place to not know the murky goings on in the game and just support your national team, and okay, that's fair, but ignorance is bliss, but ignorance is not a good thing, because it's the old saying of know your enemy. The comments for me, though, from Guido Tognoni were very true about the average fan not caring about the infighting in football. And why should they care about bribery in the sport? But he was right about sports should be fair, entertaining, etc. But I didn't agree with the comment. Because if you don't fight corruption in sport, then you shouldn't fight it at all. I just thought that was a bit small-minded to say that. Stanley Rouse, though, the first FIFA president and also a former referee, seemed to me to be a football man, pure and simple. And the documentary did seem to gloss over his importance and went straight to his successor, João Havelange, who definitely was a critical player, and his election was a turning point, considering they said he was the one who realised how influential football could be politically. Rouse, though, was saying he was apprehensive of Havelange because of the way they, meaning Brazilians, do things. And it started his downfall to me. And the fact that he was tolerant of South Africa as FIFA members, even though they still had apartheid in the 70s, was a massive minus for Rouse, and rightly so. But Haviland saying he would ban South Africa if he was elected, to me, was nothing more than a political stunt. And Haviland's got Africa on his side. And considering how big a continent Africa is, it's smart. But the revelation of brown paper envelopes being given to delegates wasn't as surprising, as you do have to grease the wheels a bit. But there was the beginning of the corruption. They said capitalism on the documentary, but capitalism is based on exploitation, and corruption is also based on exploitation as well. So FIFA becoming a business was no real surprise. It was almost a natural evolution. Now, Sepp Blatter coming on board when Haviland was voted in was ironic in hindsight, because the beginning of corruption in FIFA and it becoming a business is literally linked to Sepp Blatter from day one in October 1974. And Haviland's promises of developing Africa is clearly the mantra and empty promise that Blatter kept throughout his whole career. It's a bit funny there. But the 1978 World Cup happening in Argentina 2 years after a violent fascist takeover, for me, was FIFA laying down a marker. If you're willing to help us and be our friends, we'll help you. Whether you're a dictator, tyrant, etc., we don't care. We want your money and you give us power. It was interesting though that there was a campaign to boycott that World Cup, but no one did. Kind of shades of Qatar 2022 to an extent, as it was sports washing, cleansing your image via sport. And Haviland must have been Blatter's mentor, in all honesty, because Haviland saying football and politics don't mix and FIFA is non-partisan and non-political was utter bullshit, and showed that he talks out of both sides of his neck, considering he literally supported a dictatorship by bringing a World Cup to a country under that kind of rule. This side of the neck, other side of the neck, talking out of both. Sport allows itself to be essentially bought by regimes with human rights issues rather than using its power to take a stance against that. To me, this is a sentence that really encapsulates FIFA as well as UEFA, the Premier League, UEFA. So much influence, so much power, but never used in the right way, especially on the biggest stage. And in 1978, with that World Cup, the foundations were laid for the endemic corruption of FIFA. I mean, Haviland being corrupted by Horst Dassler, who owned Adidas at the time, was interesting, as it makes me think of what they've done with Manchester United in more recent years in the Premier League, with their CEO saying he didn't like their style of football under Moyes and Van Gaal, basically leading to both of them being sacked not long after. And it really makes me think of the undue influence they have as a company on certain areas of football. And with the FIFA story, it was interesting to see how they wormed their way into Spain 1982 with the heavy presence visually, but the payout slash bribe to Haviland in the form of marketing rights and being able to control those rights and the media rights going forward was another moment where you see the sinister side of Adidas and ISL, International Sports and Leisure, and the monopoly created via corruption. Haviland, though, trusting Blatter, and Blatter acting in a way he could trust, was sinister to say the least. And Blatter getting promoted to Secretary General was another sign of the good old boy networks that run to this very day. I mean, there was an intriguing comment about posture differences between Haviland and King Juan Carlos of Spain at the 1982 World Cup. And it actually speaks volumes about confidence and how far that can take you, when it was remarked that Haviland, with his posture, looked more like the King of Spain than the actual King of Spain. I mean, Haviland was powerful and only growing in power and political influence, so you can understand why he was kind of puffing his chest out, oh, I'm the big shot, so to speak. And similar to Blatter later on, he wasn't being opposed for his presidency, so that gives you a sense of inflated ego, of course. Hassler, though, controlling everything through Adidas and ISL was actually astounding. The kickbacks and the money like coming from them was huge, but Blatter seeing Havelange was bribed and gave him the proof of it with the mistaken $1.5 million payment was again hilariously ironic, considering what later happened to Blatter and Platini. But more on that later, a lot more on that. And we've done a lot of Pitstalk shows on that. Blatter and Havelange striking a deal of sorts for Blatter to ascend to ultimate power, with Havelange stepping down from FIFA in 1998, really showed the old phrase of there's no honour among thieves. Because Sepp Blatter knew João Havelange was bribed, used it against him, but didn't want the optics to look bad. Didn't want it to look like he was booting Havelange out. So he got Havelange to say that he's stepping down so that it keeps his respect intact and allows Blatter to fulfill his dream. Sounds like something from a gangster movie, doesn't it? My God. Havelange, though, must have been pissed. But Blatter was so disingenuous when talking about, oh, I can't imagine Havelange not running FIFA. We've been friends for 21 years, etc., etc. But it was odd to me to see Havelange's son-in-law, Ricardo Teixeira, who was a FIFA committee member under him and then Blatter from 94 to 2021, saying he was never honest enough to support the president of FIFA who made him. The corrupted Havelange being betrayed by Blatter does bring a tear to the old glass eye. And Teixeira saying he was tired of talking about Blatter was funny too, considering he worked under him from 98 to 2012. He did send a shiver down my spine though, hearing Brian Moore on commentary with the Roberto Baggio missed penalty that was shown. That was a really cool moment. And at least it diverted attention back onto the pitch. Lennart Johansson though, going for the FIFA presidency when he was UEFA president, was interesting, but the way the presidency voting was broken down was very well done, especially when you break down the votes each federation has. And Jack Warner got introduced at this point, and it brought a smile to my face, as he's just as murky as Blatter when it comes to corruption, as the world saw, and we went over in 2011 with Bin Hammam, but more on that later, I'm sure. Keeping Warner happy, though, considering he's in control of 25 countries and all of those votes, as much as he had the United Caribbean nations, he ended up using his power negatively. But Chuck Blazer, the eventual whistleblower, was also introduced as well, and these two as partners. Ooh. Blazer seemed to fit right in with the corruption, though, as he was labelled a salesman who didn't care about the game. But he and Warner worked well considering the power they had combined, especially with Jack Warner's voting power. So you could see why Blatter and Warner became friends, as it was mutually beneficial. Keep Warner on side and your power base is strong because of the voting block that he controlled. As I said, the United Caribbean nations. Johansson and Blatter going head to head was interesting, as I said earlier. And UEFA and FIFA basically ran the same way. And that seemed to be a problem with the Caribbean islands, that UEFA had a closed shop mentality, like football outside of Europe doesn't matter. And if you couple that with Platini supporting Blatter, and Platini being a very popular former player at the highest level and going into sporting politics, it made sense for them to work together, especially as it helped Blatter's image in Europe. South Africa, though, being guaranteed a World Cup if they voted for Blatter and brought the 14 nations in that region, it again showed how deep the opportunism went at the top levels of the game. And still does. Everyone looking out for their own interests and picking the sides most advantageous to them. But, unfortunately, not for the good of the game. Now, it's good for their business, not the business. Now, Mohammed bin Hammam, the head of the Asian Football Federation, another guy we're going to have a lot more on later on. But his introduction as basically a loyal foot soldier to Blatter, by himself, was interesting. And the brown envelopes of money being handed to delegates again was sad to hear, but unsurprising. And also it was unsurprising to see Blatter in the present day interview mocking Johansson's speech, saying he went on and on and on. And it's like, you're mocking. And considering Johansson at the time was talking about democracy, transparency, solidarity, and not making promises of money, contracts, tournaments, financial support, etc., to nations who rightfully will get that stuff anyway, just to grease the wheels for their votes. It made Blatter look even more like a piece of crap to me. Blatter, though, talking about continuity was funny, because I thought to myself, yeah, continuity of corruption in FIFA. And Blatter ending his speech with, I will bring a World Cup to Africa, was actually a masterstroke. Leave that little seed in the voters' minds with the last thing they hear. But Johansson basically giving up before the second round was telling, because you could see already Blatter was a master politician and Lennart Johansson was just out of his depth. And he knew the second round was pointless. And the African gentleman talking about throwing his hands up and liberation for Africa, I mean, that kind of mentality is actually part of the problem. And it led to bigger issues later that seem like they'll be tackled in episode 2. Some more on that coming up as well. But yeah, episode 1 of FIFA Uncovered. What did you think of it? Did you think Stanley Rouse, he kind of forced himself out? Avalanche, was he really betrayed by Blatter? Was Blatter an opportunist? Did Blatter start the corruption at FIFA, or was it Avalanche? So I learned by supporting the dictatorship. To our lemons, we'll know your views. What did you think of the introduction of Chuck Blazer and Jack Warner, and also Blatter already with his promises of bringing World Cups to Africa and basically mocking Lennart Johansson when he went up against him? I want to know your views. www.pitch-talk.com is the official website. Let us know your views. twitter.com/pitchtalk or at pitchtalk on Twitter. Tweet with us, follow us, see what we're up to. facebook.com/pitchtalk. Become a fan, become a friend, become a member of the group. Join the footballing revolution we are working so hard to create. At pitchtalk on Instagram for vlogs/podcast previews and much more. Also, we are on Reddit, at Pitch Talk on there. We're on TikTok. We're at Pitch Talk on TikTok as well, with vlog previews and podcast previews and more there. Also, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, wherever you find your podcast, you can find the Pitch Talk podcast. Let us know your views. This has been part one of 4 parts of my review into the Netflix series FIFA Uncovered, talking about the corruption at FIFA. What did you think of episode 1? I want to know your views. My name is Straight Shooting LJA, and until next time, see you later, people. I will see you on episode 2. Take it easy.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution.
Check out the official Pitch Talk website,
www.pitch-talk.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Pitch Talk.
We are fans of football, dropping vlogs, videos and podcasts on the beautiful game.
Check out our videos on YouTube and Instagram's IGTV,
including special feature segments,
5 minutes with the G,
the Straight Shooting View,
coaching with JBK. We produce, record and edit video content
and audio on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts,
Verbal, Podomatic,
Anchor,
Spotify
and other podcast platforms.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution on Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook,
and www.pitch-talk.com.
The pitch is where we eat.
The pitch is where we sleep.
And the pitch is where we talk. I can see you now.